This is Cheryl. We are here on January 25th, 2016 for our third call for Trust Yourself. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I would like to dive right in. Maybe dive is the wrong word. Wiggle in. Move slowly into our 1 minute of turning inward. Or maybe it is a dive because we're just moving and moving and moving and we dive in and then perhaps we can feel a moment of pause, even 1 moment within this minute is a gift to ourselves. So, turning inward and breathing and noticing very simply what is happening on the inner realm. Starting now. I think a lot about silence. I'm quite in love with silence. And I am aware of how much our culture turns everything into a commodity, even words and time. So that even when we experience silence for a course like this, when you're paying for it, there's this sometimes this feeling of, is this really valuable? Right, that we value words and information over silence. Silence is invaluable and yet also very hard to allow. It comes up in my work with clients as well. When there is silence, there's the urge, the tendency to fill it either on my end or the client's end. Right, we're very uncomfortable with silence. Happens a lot between couples when there's silence. The mind then starts racing and roaring. Do we have enough to talk about? Is there enough intellectual stimulation? Is there enough connection? We undervalue profoundly silence. How much richness there can be. And of course, there are many kinds of silence. There is awkward silence, and there is uncomfortable silence, and there is silence that is so loud you can almost hear it because there's so much unsaid in terms of anger and resentment. So there are many, many forms of silence, but the silence that we come to here is a silence that hopefully in some way nourishes your well of self. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this hour. This third week is on loving yourself, and that is such an overused phrase these days in the psychological and internet new age pop psychology world. Just love yourself. You can't love another until you love yourself, which, by the way, I do not agree with. I think we learn symbiotically how to love ourselves in relationship with other, and we learn how to love other through being in relationship with ourselves. So I don't subscribe to black and white statements like that. But what does it mean to love yourself? Some of this, by the way, may also be repetitive for you. It may also come up in the emails this week. I actually wrote those emails so long ago that I don't quite remember what is in all of them until they pop up in my inbox every morning. And if you are taking my Break Free from Relationship Anxiety course, this information is in there as well. But what I find about information, and I say this in that course as well, is that I repeat oftentimes intentionally because this is not information that we are familiar with. And it takes many, many hearings for things to integrate and metabolize beyond the level of mind. And of course, not just hearing it, but putting it into action. So what does it mean to love yourself? I hope you have pen and paper ready. We are going to be doing a simple and brief exercise in a few minutes. The metaphor I like to use for loving yourself is that, first of all, it is not enough to stand in front of the mirror and say, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're great, you're smart. That is a piece of it. That can have an effect. But it would be like if you had a child and you told that child every day, I love you, you're great, you're wonderful, you're smart, and then you completely ignored the child for the other 12 hours of the day. Would that child feel loved? No, words are not enough. We need action, we need time, we need attention. Right? We need action, we need time, we need attention. That's what it means to fill your well of self. That's what it means to love yourself. So please get a pen and paper ready. As always, if you have a question, star 2 yourself, you will be added to the queue. There's already somebody in the queue, which is great, which just reminded me to say that. So if you have a question, when it comes time to answer questions, you will have a much better chance of being called on if you start to, oh, a bunch of people just raised their hand. So pen and paper, you can do this later if you don't have a pen and paper with you. Again, if you are in my Break Free course, you know I'm a big fan of wheels. A wheel is quite simply a way of visualizing these concepts that we're talking about in our minds so that we can see them more clearly. When we can see them on paper, we can understand them more clearly. We can integrate more easily. So in the middle of your paper, you will make a circle. And in that circle, you will write the well of self. And you will then draw 4 lines coming off of that circle, up, down, right, and left. At the end of the left line, you will write cognitive. The end of the right line, you will write emotional. The end of the bottom line, you will write physical. And at the end of the top line, you will write spirit/soul. /creative can be any of those things. Because I know some people have a hard time with the word spirit and spiritual and soul and gives them the heebie-jeebies. So you can put creative there if that's easier for you to identify with. These are the 4 realms of self as I see them. Of course, we are not divided neatly into sections, much to the chagrin of Western medicine. We are not a lung over here and a throat over here, right? You go and see your ear, nose, and throat doctor, but that doesn't mean that your ear, nose, and throat are actually disconnected from the rest of your body. We are one holistic unit. But for the sake of learning how to love ourselves, it can be helpful to divide up into realms. Because we can then ask ourselves, where do the waters run dry? How am I doing giving time and attention to each of these parts of me? Physical is, of course, food. And please write all this down. It might seem obvious, but it's really good to have it right in front of you in black and white. Food, exercise, sleep, hormones, stimulants, medication. Emotional is how are you attending to your emotional world, your difficult feelings, your positive feelings. How are you meeting yourself? How much time are you giving yourself to feel? And what is your response to your feelings when they come up? Is it judgment? Is it shame? Is it curiosity? Is it compassion? The cognitive realm is receiving accurate information. It's those splashes of truth water that I talk a lot about. It's basically what my entire blog is about. It's giving accurate information about things like love and relationships, but it could be about anything, sexuality, career, transitions, life, right? It's dousing yourself in very positive and accurate information. It's being very mindful of how much time you sit in front of the news. It's walking that fine line between indulgence and staying informed when we're talking about the news, for example. Information can harm. It can cause anxiety, without a doubt. Information can also soothe and heal. And then the upper realm of spirit, soul, creative self is how much time are we giving to our dreams, which I will talk a bit about today, our creativity, which was one of the assignments a couple of days ago. Where do we feel nourished in that place of soul? This is also the place of silence for many people. It's in nature. How much time are we sitting and being in nature? How much time are we spending with trees in silent conversation or for out loud conversation? With our natural world, our places of soul and spirit. Poetry, music. It's that place where we feel lifted. Uplifted. We feel connected to something bigger than ourselves. And it can be literally like an infusion of medicine when we just sit and receive, open to that place, and then also to express from that place. We receive, we take in, we express, we offer. And the key there, as well as I talk a lot about in this course, is to be offering from that, expressing from that place of true expression, true offering, instead of trying to get approval or any kind of outcome. Here I am. Here is my offering. Here is my expression. Here is how I am seeing the world and making sense of the world and meeting all of these places inside of me. So I want to say a little bit more about the very, very brief overview of those four realms. I want to say a little bit more about the physical and then talk about dreams, and then we'll open it up for questions. The physical is our foundation. We live in these physical bodies, and they require quite a bit of attention in order to feel well. And we know now that things like exercise have a profound reverberating effect on all of the other realms. Exercise reduces anxiety, for example. It has now been proven without a shadow of a doubt. So, again, to use the metaphor of a child, it's not enough to have good intentions. With the physical realm, possibly more than any of the others, it's really, truly about action, and it requires a devotion, a commitment of time. The biggest reason I hear why people don't take care of their physical bodies is because they don't have enough time. And I say, pshaw, if I have the time, you have the time. It's usually not really about time. It's usually a big block of resistance in the way. But there's also some false beliefs we have about it. And we live in this culture that leads us to believe that things should be fast and easy. Right? There's fast food. There's microwave. Everything's fast. And to really take good physical care of yourself, especially around nutrition and exercise, but sleep as well, it truly requires a devotion of time. If you're going to prepare food, it requires you to think of it ahead of time, make a list, meal plan, go to the grocery store, buy the ingredients, make the food, clean up. It's a lot. It's a ton. To me, it feels like a second job. That's how much time I devote to our food. We do not eat one meal out. And I don't say that from any place of arrogance. We actually can't. We have so many different food restrictions and food specifications and preferences and likes and dislikes. It just never works. I would love to be able to go to a restaurant once in a while. And once in a while we do, and it's okay. But it's not part of our regular life. And I see that as one of the ways of loving my children and my husband and myself. Right? That I simply don't function well without really high quality home cooked food. It literally registers in my body like a happy pill. And I was thinking of you all today because I made this big pan of roasted broccoli. And I went for a walk with my boys earlier today, and I came back, and the broccoli was sitting on the counter, and it just looked so amazingly good to me. And I don't know if that sounds weird. I know there's a lot of healthy eaters that actually find their way to my work, and that's fantastic. But I started to eat it, and it was like the most delicious thing I'd ever had. On the sensual level of just the pure taste, I love roasted broccoli. I love the crispiness meets the crunchy meats. It just makes me happy. And where and how it was going into my body, I could literally feel the vitamins giving me energy. So food is powerful. Conversely, eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugar, even some sugar for many people, myself included, can have quite a profound effect on mood and well-being and energy. Sleep, of course, we know is foundational, and sleep is tricky because we can get into anxiety, an anxious state about not getting enough sleep, and then that creates more insomnia. I work a lot with insomnia with my clients because there's a direct connection between insomnia and anxiety. So don't worry too much about that. Do the best you can. With all of it. With all of it, you do the best you can. And where you find resistance, you work with that the best you can as well. Right? But I feel it's important to say this every course I ever run. If you are prone to anxiety and you are on the highly sensitive spectrum, any kind of stimulant should be avoided if possible. That includes caffeine, alcohol, sugar. I feel like I'm forgetting one or two, but you know what they are. You know your body. And I want to emphasize that as well. You know your body. Whatever I say may be true for me, it may be true for many people, and it may not be true for you, and that is infinitely more important to trust what you know to be true about your body. Right? There are no hard and fast rules, and it can be very confusing in the internet world today because we are bombarded with so much conflicting information. Some people say only eat meat and grains, and some people say vegetarian is going to save your life. So they can't possibly both be true for everybody's body, right? You know what's true for your body, and what's true for your body now may change as you go through life and as you age. My point is to devote some time and attention. If you want to feel well, physical realm is foundational. All of these are important. They're all equally important, but the foundation is our bodies because we live in a body. We cannot avoid it. So I want to say just a few minutes, a few words about dreams because to me, it's a beautiful connection between dreams and self-trust. Dreams are these little boats of wisdom that come every single night from our unconscious. Our unconscious is a realm that is inarguable. It's nobody else giving you that information. It's truly coming from this well of self. Messengers from the well of self coming every night delivering gifts. Now, the challenge with dreams is that we have never been educated as far as how to understand them. And so we take them at face value. We take them literally, just like we take all of our other waking thoughts. you want to understand dreams, please read The Wisdom of Your Dreams by Jeremy Taylor. Understand at the very basic level that every element of your dream, on one level at least, represents some aspect of you, is a projection. So this is also how we learn to work more skillfully with the concept of projection. And to understand that your dreams are coming in the service of health and healing. That's a line from Jeremy Taylor, and I truly believe it. They're not here to torture you. They're not here to make you feel bad about yourself. They're not here to try to convince you to leave a loving relationship. Right? Every element of a dream represents some aspect of you that is longing for more integration. We are fragmented, and dreams come in the service of wholeness. And it is truly an art and a skill to work with dreams. And nearly impossible, very difficult to work with one's own dreams, which is why I've opened up the Dream Group Forum. For those of you who are part of any of my courses, you now have access to the Dream Group Forum, including this course. And I'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but my Trust Yourself Extended program, which goes on for another 30 days after this program, because it's quite frequently happens that the program ends and people are left hanging and wanting more. So a few rounds ago, I created an additional 30 days. It's much less intense, but there is an entire module there on dream work as well. But for now, as I think I said in another call, simply to write down your dreams is an act of self-love. It's giving yourself that time in the morning, that attention, that slowed down space to say, my inner world matters enough that I'm going to record my dream in some way, write it down, speak it into the phone. I prefer writing it down so that we have a little bit longer in that non-technological realm. There's something about writing for many people that also keeps them connected to their right brain. Right, that creative, unconscious place. So, a very, very strong connection between dreams and self-trust. And if that's an area for you that resonates, I encourage you to explore it more. I'm just going to read a tiny little passage from The Wisdom of Your Dreams, and it also pertains to a question that came up on the forum, and I also talked about it in one of the calls around creativity, people believing that they're not creative, that they have nothing new to say, which dreams kind of blow that belief into the water to smithereens, and this is what Jeremy Taylor says. Another related archetypal aspect of dreams and dreaming holds great promise for the future of humankind. Dreams are reflections of our inborn creativity. Creativity is our universal human birthright. All creativity has its source deep in the unconscious. Dreams have always been one of the major vehicles for the appearance of the creative impulse in waking imagination and awareness. This creativity is easily seen in the incredibly clever, dramatic, symbolic reframing of our waking lives and activities that our dreams always provide us. It also appears in the form of creative inspiration for specific projects and acts of self-expression. So he goes on then to give many famous examples, famous people who whose inventions and creations came directly from their dreams. And on that note, just one last little tidbit there regarding time. One of the big resistance blocks I hear when we're talking about giving ourselves the time to turn inward is the belief that says it's selfish, it's a waste of time. Won't that just lead to narcissistic navel gazing like all those hippies in the 60s didn't get anything done because they were so self-absorbed? That's never what I have found to be true. Certainly not in my own life, certainly not in the lives of my clients. What I have found to be true is exactly the opposite. When we devote sufficient time and attention to our inner worlds and we start to heal and repair and connect to these wellsprings that we all have, these places of aliveness and fullness, what ends up happening is we have more energy to then give to the world around us, our immediate world, our friends and family, our colleagues, sometimes even the broader world. I have many incredibly inspirational stories of people who have gone through this very program and have come out and followed their dream to go and be of service somewhere in the world. That is extraordinary to me. That makes all of this worthwhile, because in the end, we are here to give. We are here to serve. But it's very difficult to give and serve when we're living from a fragmented sense of self. It's from the fullness. When the fullness then overflows, the waters of that inner well literally overflow, we are compelled to give. We must then give. We have the energy for it. We are inspired to help in some way. And that is the work. That is the fruit of the work.